Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thugging like I usually do. And you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond.
Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boke, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
Bet.
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yappa, UNLV, ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You hear me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girlfriend, the bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world hip hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. And I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX stand up, Hud City was shaking. Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh Design, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio, the Guillotine Team, Off the Cuff. And yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Arranged thing, every spot call means drug change. They pull me over for a routine check me. What he has in mind is to disrespect me. Where'd you get the money for a fancy car? Got you, sucker, what you know about rap, huh? I'm just a young man trying to make it. Remember the name and don't ever mistake it. All you can say is when I pass by, is that Shan, don't he look fly? Although you thought that civil rights guy, you need to wake up and see it from the bright side.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got MC Shan and Molly Mall in the house tonight. They just came from off tour. They want to tell you a little story about where they come from.
You love to hear the story again and again of how it all got started way back when. The monument is right in your face. Sit and listen for a while to the name of the place. They used to do it out in the park. Every place that said his name, it rang an alarm. Otherwise known as Mean T. Tom. A brother who's known for his rap, Jabby Jack. Larry Lapp, third, least not last. A cool brother by the name of Gas. Faith Brothers made you get loose. They was down with a brother called Cousin Bruce. They used to jam in the center. You had to pay so you could enter. Go to the door, get to get in. And if you wasn't from this town, then you couldn't fight and win. But every time they had a jam, they couldn't get no peace. So that's why the jams out there in the park, they had to see, cause you was in
the break. rockin' the bridge, we'll keep rockin' if the beat stop rockin'. The bridge, we'll keep rockin' if the beat stop rockin'. The bridge, I keep rockin' till the beat stop rockin'. The kids, keep rockin' till the bridge stop rockin'. The kids, we'll keep rockin' and the bridge stop rockin'. The bridge, I keep rockin' if the kids stop rockin'. The bridge, we'll keep rockin' till the beat stop rockin'. The kids, we'll keep rockin'.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got MC Shan and Molly Mall in the house tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, we got MC Shan and Molly Mall in the house tonight. They just came from off tour. They want to tell you a little story about where they come from. They just came from off tour. They want to tell you a little story about where they come from.
Yeah, 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 what it do, y'all? This your boy King Eric the Great. You're now tuned in at episode 320 at the Livest Hip Hop Show on Friday nights and Sunday nights, Off the Cuff Radio. I done had my birthday this week. I'm happy, I'm blessed, and I'm ready to get this show down on the road. Before we go on, I bring my other two co-hosts. Off the Cuff Radio is sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Dirty Basement, Core Financial, Jesse's Boutique. We got a lot going on, man. I got my man T-Max with the facts on.
What it do, OTC, Friday night, a place to be. We live and direct. What it do, man?
Hey, man, I'm chilling, man. I got my man Pittsburgh Pat on the line right here.
What up, Pat? Hey,
I don't go by Pittsburgh Pat anymore, man. I go as the greatest of all time. So address me as such. No, I'm playing. How you guys doing?
What's going on, Pat?
Hey,
I'm a little smoked up tonight, man. Just have a little bit of fun, man.
Hey, man, we good, man. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for Shan to pull up, in the meantime, I'd like to build with y'all. First of all, thank you guys for helping me make episode 320. It's a big
man.
Milestone. And
I've been kind of busy as of late, man, and I wanted to just congratulate you guys, man, on everything and like pulling in some big guests like Cassidy and shit, like. You know, like, you guys are definitely progressing and making some noise. And, I've been fucking with you for, like, 3 years now, man. And I remember a time where, like, you were still trying to figure this thing out. You know what I mean? Like, you'd hit me out. We'd talk. I'd try to give you little pointers and shit. You know what I mean? And, like,
yeah.
I just knew you was going to be all right because I'm not saying like, oh, you asked me for advice every day or nothing like that. You know what I mean? I was just, there'd be certain people I'd see you're dealing with and I'm like, hey, bro, just a heads up, like, they're flaky. They might drop out the last minute or I would just give you like a tip from what I learned, man. And the reason why I did that, man, is because like, there'd be, like, you figured it out quick and you had a lot of good ideas and I knew you were all about it. You weren't just half-assed with something. I knew you were all about it. And, I'm not trying to take credit for anything you've accomplished at all. Let me just set that straight. I was just saying, I always seen that you had a good mind for this shit and you were 100% in. You know what I mean? And I'm like, man, he's going to be all right. Because if you go back and look around the time I interviewed you on my other show, fucking, there's a bunch of other podcasts and radio shows that I interviewed too. And I never booked a show for those guys. I never tried to help them out with any of my kind, because they were just people that just, you know, got a blog talk station and then just asked Wikipedia questions to every guest they had that was worth anything, or they would just let any fucking person on their show. You know what I mean? I just knew, like, oh man, they're not even taking the right steps. They're not trying to be different. They're just doing it because they had enough money to pay the bills at the end of the month for Blog Talk. But when I saw you, man, like, I recognized what you were doing, and I was like, oh, man, this dude's going to be all right. And you know, you stay, you know, you have knowledge on the old school, and you stay up to date on the new school, and that's important, you know what I mean? And, you know, I saw you go from someone that was still trying to figure it out, and, you know, get all the details down to somebody that's doing big fucking things now, man. And that's why I'm honored to help you any way I can. And, you know, I mean, I really like this show, man. Like, I listened to it when I quit radio while I was doing radio. I listened to it. You know what I mean? So I just want to salute you from going to from somebody that, you know, was still trying to figure this thing out to getting it down packed and fucking making some major moves, man. So salute to you, T-Max. Everybody on the team, man. You know what I mean? You know, you guys deserve as much respect as I can possibly give you, man. For real, and I'm honored to help you in any way. And I appreciate you guys letting me come on here and talk my shit. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt, man.
Well, yeah, man. Look, Pat, anytime, look, as much as, you know, as much as we've done, it's people like yourself and so many others, you know, who have given us so much support. You know, who really, you know, and, you know, of course, you know, I got to thank King, too, for bringing me into the mix, man. You know, you know, every day I think about it, I'm like, wow, whoever thought I'd be a journalist, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, yeah, but it's one thing about it is that we all help each other because the bigger picture is what we all accomplish together as opposed to what we do separately. And, you know, it's a team effort from all sides. You know, and of course, we want to thank all of our guests, past and, you know, past and future to come, you know, that have been on and will be on the show. You know, this is something that, you know, me and King talk about this all the time. You know, this is something that takes a lot of effort, a lot of determination. There are going to be ups and downs, but, you know, your will, your perseverance has to be stronger than your doubts and your fears. And I think King, Sandman, Chinchilla, you know, yourself, for all y'all have done, you know, y'all have shown that in such exemplary fashion about what it means to keep going, you know, and to just keep pressing on,
yeah.
You know, no matter what.
Hell yeah, man. Just, you know, don't ever go with the flow. Be the flow. You know what I mean? Just make you, you know, don't be like everybody else. That's why I always fucked with you, Eric. You wasn't like everybody else. You know what I mean? You wanted to do things your way. You know what I mean? Like, didn't just follow any kind of trend or ask the same boring-ass questions as everybody else asks and shit. You know what I mean? Like, thing I like about your show, man, is, like, tonight with Shan, man, I don't got one fucking note wrote down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, Shan always gives great content. You know, I mean, I've interviewed MC Shan, I think, more than anybody else. I'm pretty sure. And, I'm not saying I have more interviews with MC Shan than any other person. I'm saying he's the person I interviewed the most. You know what I mean? But,
right.
Man, he always be talking that shit, man. Where he at? He ain't on the board yet?
Not yet.
We don't get him.
I might need his. Yeah, we're going to definitely get him on there.
Okay, so we got.
Yeah, I mean, I just hit him like 2 hours ago, and he was cool. He gave me his number and shit. So, yeah, I mean, if you want, can y'all call him from the board?
Yeah.
I didn't give you his number yet.
Yeah, we could definitely do that.
I didn't give you his number?
Shoot me his number. I'm going to try to call him from the switchboard.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, shoot it to me on Instagram.
Yeah, I'm doing it right now, bro.
In the meantime, we got to get into a bit of fuckery for this week. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no, matter of fact, before we do that, man, I want to just say, we just gotta give shouts to what possibly the best versus battle that I've seen with DMX and Snoop. It was the battle
Yeah, real quick. I missed it. I was at work.
Hey,
how
real
was
quick.
It? How was it? Yeah.
Man, it was cool, man. But real quick, if you want to, like, just for, I just want to talk about this if we have time later. I don't know if y'all watched the most recent Smack, but that Daylight T-Rock battle.
How was it?
Bro, it was Like, bro, there was no crowd. It was just, like, cameraman, some staff and shit. And both of them had to stop for applause breaks. It's going to go down as one of the best battles of all time. Like, no question.
Wow.
And even people that are skeptical and stuff like that, I mean, like, real critics and then people that usually hate, and, you know what I mean? But, like, the people that actually know their shit, they were saying the same thing. Like, when I saw it, it was insane, man. It was some of the most incredible shit I ever seen. Like, Doggy Diamonds posted about it, and I was like, oh, shit, I forgot all about it. Smack last night. So I went and watched it, man, and I'm telling you, bro, like, it was the most incredible battle that I've seen in a long time. But we can talk about that later. You know, man, we'll talk about it, in the future. I just wanted to plant that seed in you guys' head because it's definitely something that needs to be talked about eventually. But,
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the DMX and Snoop versus, then we're going to try to bring Shan on.
Okay, cool.
Give a little format.
Yeah, man. Yeah, so, all right, I was at work, so I missed it. Two of the greatest dogs in the top dogs, boss dogs in the history of the biz. How was it? What was going on with it?
If I could spit my opinion real quick, personally, like, I'm a DMX fan, so, like, I'm going to be biased, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it was fun. They had fun with each other. Like, I mean, to be honest, man, like, I don't even really look at those as battles and shit. Like, it's just people just press and shuffle on playlists, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not knocking it because it's fun. It's fun watching that stuff, man. So, like, I don't really look at who's the winner, who's the loser. I mean, you can look at shit and be like, oh, like, I was really, what it comes down to is, like, you're like, oh, this song hit me, you know, like, when he played this, it hit me hard. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just what moved you more. But, I mean, it was good, man. I'm not really a Snoop Dogg fan, man, but the dude got a lot of hits. I ain't gonna knock him. But, they were funny and shit, too. Like, at one point, DMX was like, I want to shout out all my baby mamas. And Snoop was like, damn, all of them? And it was just like a funny moment, you know what I mean? it was fun, man, like, just to see those guys. Because, like, Snoop had all those, like, hit records and, like, all kinds of, like, the smoking song, the chill song, the gangster song, you know, all that. But DMX got all them anthems. You know what I'm saying? So, like, really, I don't really even know how to really judge that type of shit. Like, I think that both of them, like, reminded us of their catalog and how dope both of them can be. And, I mean, like I said, I don't really look at those things as, like, winners and losers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they both,
you know, I guess, like, the Jadakiss and Fabulous one, it was just, like, you know, like, oh, Jada played them joints. Like, I felt the shit Jada was playing more times than I felt the Fab shit. But it was still fun, you know what I mean? But, like, yeah, last night it was fun because you just look at those two dudes as two totally different artists, two totally different, you know, styles. One's West, one's East. And, just, you know, both of them just had these, like, unique runs in hip-hop history. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was nobody like DMX at the time he came out of the gate. I believe he's the first artist to... maybe Kanye might have broke it. I'm not sure, but I know he was the first artist to his first five albums debuted at number one. I don't know if that's been broke since then.
And he's only artist...
Like,
and Pat, you got to remember, too, he's the only artist ever to have... Well... Some would say historians, some hip-hop historians would say technically Tupac did it when he had the All Eyes on Me, and then we had Machiavelli in 1996, albeit under different names. But in terms of the same name, DMX usually carries the distinction for being the first and only hip-hop artist to ever have two albums debut in the same year in 1998.
I think the correct way to word that, if I'm not mistaken, is in the same calendar year.
Yeah,
so,
calendar year, yes.
In one
year,
like Tupac's, like, I think Tupac's came out within 12 months of each other, but the year overlapped. You know what I mean?
Right,
but I could
right,
be
right,
wrong.
Right.
But, I mean, I remember people saying that about DMX back in those times, that he was the first one. That's just something I never really ever took the time to look into. But, yeah, I know that he accomplished it, and I know he was one of the first ones, if not the first one, to do it. But,
yeah.
But he got all them anthems, bro. And, like,
yeah.
You forget, like, what DMX can do. Like, to be honest, I didn't watch the whole thing. Like, I'll be honest. Just
thank
off the
God
top of your
too.
Head, I mean, if you think of all the shit Snoop did, like, you know, the joint he had, I Wanna Fuck You, the joint with Akon, like, he got that, he got Lay Low, he got New York, New York, he got, you know, Gin and Juice in the next episode and all that, but then when you think of DMX, he got the joint with Cisco. Was he Fisher's Long from him?
What,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
he played that.
He got Rough Riders Anthem. X gonna give it to you.
Get
you know,
at me, dog.
What? Ah, same. You know, he got the Great Depression joint, Who We Be. He got that.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just when you really break down, man, like, both of them had, like, shit that just, like, everybody felt that shit. Everybody liked it. Like, you know. If you look, it's like
Gin and
Juice.
I think it also helped too that they was in the same building, because one of the things I couldn't stand about these verses is these guys got all that Afghanistan Wi-Fi, and you know everything starts like glitching.
Yeah,
I feel and it was just cool to see those dudes, like, because I mean, dude, who thinks of DMX and thinks of Snoop Dogg, like. When I saw the promo for it, it was like dog versus dog. I was like, oh, shit, I never even thought about both of them having the dog aspect. I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, just because they're two, like, totally, you know, totally fucking different. You know what I mean? Like, you think of them as totally different artists, but, like, to see them be cool with each other and shit and fucking, like, just the shit that they was playing, like, that I saw, man. It was just real cool to see, man, and, like, like I said, those aren't, like, real battles. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think...
Yeah, you know,
like,
somebody that's taking it for,
fun.
Like, a real battle. Now, somebody take it like a...
Yeah.
Now, KRS, he said that nobody touching his catalog.
Ugh.
I don't know.
I'm hoping
KRS.
I can set that up, but I can bring Shan on to get a reaction to that. Because we know Shan might have to pull up on that.
I guess we'll give KRS props or whatever, but, like, y'all don't think, like, Nas got him? Y'all don't think Jay got him?
Well,
you know,
the funny thing, though, Pat, the funny thing, King and Pat, is the fact is this. When you're looking at KRS, KRS is undoubtedly one of the modern-day founding fathers of hip-hop progress, you know, from when BDP started around 85, 86, and really, you know, but when you look at it from that era, you know, and he's one of the greatest, yes, but also, too, you got to look at his contemporaries during the time. You know, you got to look at this, you know, I don't know, this guy from, you know, this living legend from Long Island by the name of Rakim, you know, I think, you
G-Rap would be KRS-One.
You know, as much
G-Rap
as
got better shit
I'm biased
than
I'm a G-Rap fan. That's my favorite MC of all time. I think G-Rap, I think, as much as I'm a G-Rap fan, I think for a degree of it, because when you look at KRS, he did have a bit more mainstream success. G-Rap never really got it to the...
And that's,
you know,
what
he
I
never
loved
really
about
got
Cool
to,
G.
Yeah.
Because Cool G just, you know, he was about them bars. Like, you know, I guess KRS was more about... Try to make a hit. Cool G didn't give a fuck. Like, he was, and to this day, he's still with the same approach. Let me just spit my bars, get the fuck out the way. He don't want to be no superstar. I don't think.
G is straight gangster.
He would say the same thing about G-Rap. He didn't care about, you know, being, you know, top of the game, you know, on every magazine cover. And I don't think G-Rap ever cared about that. And, I mean, it's evident today, man. Like, the dude's still spitting. And he's still spitting at a high fucking level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But you know one thing about it, y'all, with the versus battle, no matter what era, no matter who it is, I think this is something you know, and all the tragedy of the pandemic. And shout out to Swiss Beats for coming
it's
up with it.
It's fun, man.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is a history lesson for all the young kids out here who really may not have had time to really understand and appreciate what
and
these
look,
artists
man,
have done.
To be honest, I hope this thing keeps going, and I want them to do. I want them to do newer people, even shit that, you know, we might not care about, like, you know, like 2 Chainz versus Future, like, you know, shit more recent, like even shit that, you know, like the older generation might not care about, and then have more fun with it down the road. Like, let's do Migos versus Bone Thugs. Let's, you know, let's do Young Thug versus fucking Jada Kids. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and let's have fun with it, man. Maybe, like, it would be a good way for everybody to respect each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I like that idea.
Look, man, hip-hop's
like
the number
idea.
One genre in the world, man. But, dude, we're so fucking fans, dude. We're so fucking ugly to each other, man. We're so fucking ugly. Like, you know, the old heads don't like the new shit. But, like, they think that, like, Lil Uzi Vert is trying to do what Rakim did. Like, I don't think Lil Uzi Vert gives a fuck about being the best lyricist and all that. Like, those guys are just about something else, but it falls under the umbrella. You know what I mean? Like, so when we say, like, oh, our generation was better, we had Pac, Big, and Nas, and Jay, and, you know, the Juice Crew and all these guys. Like, fuck the Migos, Young Thug, and all those guys. Like, bro, like, I don't think the new guys really wanted to be like the guys we were naming. And we can say it's wrong. I mean, I think it's wrong. Like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, the hip-hop we knew consists of bars and delivery and all that. But, hey, man, like, those guys aren't about that. So it's like, whatever, man. You know what I mean? Like, let them rock out. But don't you think that'd be a good idea on how to learn how to respect each other? Like, you know, let's include all the fucking... the young guys, like, you know, let's put up, you know, the newer young generation versus each other. And then, you know, a couple months from now, man, let's throw on, you know, Young Thug versus Styles P. Like, you know what I mean? Like, have fun with it, man. Like, you know, I think that would be a good idea and how to maybe, like, be like, oh, shit, okay. Like, because you never know. Like, we just, some of us as old heads, man, we just sometimes dismiss the younger guys, man. But, like, well, man, like,
hold on,
if
I think
you,
I got Chan on right now.
Listening to it.
Chan, you there?
Yeah,
I'm here. You hear me?
We hear
this
you.
My brother, MC Chan.
Look, I'm in the woods, so I'm trying to stay still. I took the RV out to an RV camp, so I'm trying to stay still so I can keep the signal.
This is an RV. Oh, my goodness.
It's my boy Shane, man, the motherfucking legend, the pioneer, MC Shane.
What's happening? I heard what y'all were talking about with the young school. I would be down with that only if they listen. Because, I mean, they would listen in the beginning to old school. They wouldn't be caught in them 360 deals that they're caught in. But they're too busy on their own, whatever. They don't need us and all that. Well, you do your thing. I want to rhyme with y'all. Y'all don't rhyme anyway. All y'all do is mumble. I don't want to do nothing with you.
Yeah, I feel you, man. Yeah.
If you are a young cat rhyming, I ain't got no problem with that. But if you're going to take one word and make a whole record out of it, I ain't got nothing to do with that. That's no qualification for you to call yourself an MC. Sorry, a rapper or whatever the hell. Nori is the only one that
Yo, Shane, I got to ask you this question just off top because I'm very curious about it. I haven't been as active on social media as of late, but I watched one of your videos, I'd say probably about a month or two ago, and you was talking about, I think, doing a podcast or something, and you was working with some of the old Juice Crew members. Is that what
that
I heard?
A minute ago. Yeah, we was doing a Juice Crew reunion tour. But the money wasn't right for me. You know what I'm saying? I got to sing one song. They wouldn't let me do more than one song. I'm like, come on. I got fans like the rest of you. Oh, but the promoter said you could only do one song. Well, fuck the Juice Crew tour then. I'm not coming.
That's understandable. It's business. It's business.
So
I mean, you're a legend.
So they can do the Juice Crew tour without me. Whatever. You can't even call it Juice Crew if Shan ain't down. So call it something else.
Oh, man.
Man, that just level disrespect right there.
Yeah,
man.
I will say that it can't be
one of those
guys. Juice Crew without
Shan was one of those guys that was in the ring with the Lions, man, like KRS and LL. So, you know, for not to put him on the board, that's like a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I felt like. It was like, you know, everybody else is getting shine, but Shan, you could do one song. So I felt some kind of way. So when it came time for them to do extra, you know, more shows, I just told them I quit. I ain't down. Because y'all knew I done made a new check, right? And they didn't understand that new check meant that I don't have to do whatever y'all want me to do. You can save that little bullshit money you got. I'm not coming. Change your whole name of the show.
Wow.
That is,
yeah.
And, you know,
wow.
And the reality of it is, Shan, is that you are a living legend. And you, I mean, listening to some of the songs, you know, the King played from the beginning, because we're going to get to the first track in a second, because obviously from when you were here with us last year to now, a lot of shit has happened in a year. So we got so much to talk about. But the fact of the matter is, yes, you got hit. And I didn't say hit as in singular. I mean hits as in plural. We know your catalog.
Yeah.
In terms of your personal situation, Shan, in terms of your personal situation and reference to that, and other reunion tours that you've also heard about and seen as well, how often does this happen where sometimes people who are integral to the fabric of what the tour is?
Man.
What's up?
Y'all
hear
me?
Yeah, we hear you, bro.
How
much does that happen on reunion tours and nostalgia tours when you have some artists that are not only integral but essential to it? Like with you, the Juice Crew, you're one of the living embodiments of it. It's not the Juice Crew without you. How often does that happen on tours where sometimes artists get cut out of it in terms of either they don't get the financial compensation or their set list isn't always copacetic?
Oh, man, did we lose Shan?
Did we lose Shan? Shan, you with us?
Yeah, we're probably going to try to call him back on the board. He was trying to get his signal.
Okay.
Hold on, what?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, let's try to do that. That was a good question, our teammates.
Yeah, he was. He's in the woods, man.
Man, listen, man, look, one thing, like I said, I've interviewed Shan more than I've interviewed anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what the fuck he's going to do. And that's why I love him. Sometimes it's frustrating. But bro, the one time he was like 90 minutes late because he was playing a video game. Like, the one thing I respect about him is, yo, man, Shan does Shan, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
what?
He's never blown me off before. You know what I mean? The dude always be calling in. I think one time we just had a mix-up, and he didn't call in the right.
Try to get him on
Let's
now.
See if we can get him back. Shan,
you
here?
Reach Shan. Leave a
yeah,
message. I'll get back to you at my earliest convenience.
Oh, man, it's so hard, man. Yo, Shan, man, this is Pat. Let's try to knock this out, man. You know, if it's a bad time for you, man, it's all good. We can do something
in
the near future, man. But
okay.
Just let us know what's up, Shan.
Hey, your own brother.
Who are you talking to?
Sam.
Serious.
Sam, you ready?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear
you. Yeah,
you
know, Sam.
In the woods, in the middle of Hit Town. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking up, though, brother. Come on,
Am I still breaking up?
I just heard you perfectly clear right there, Shan.
All right, well, I'm going to try and hold on, and I'm going to move around with the satellites because they're overhead.
Gotcha. Yeah, Shan, did you catch that last question I had for you?
Yeah, it cut off on me. I was listening to the beginning and it cut off.
Yeah, I'll just ask you, you know, like I said, the Juice Crew, you're one of the living embodiments of it. It's like it's not the Juice Crew without you. But I was asking also, too, in terms of reunion and nostalgia tours that you've seen over the years with other artists, how often does that happen where the money isn't copacetic or the set list isn't copacetic in terms of what the artist is paid or what they're or how long they're allowed to perform? How often does that happen with other artists that you've seen?
All the time with old school, let me tell you why. Because the simple fact, old school, they think that we're irrelevant and we're starving. So they offer us any little bit of money they think that we're going to go for. You know what I'm saying? And
right.
Most of the time, some people, I can't say everybody's situation ain't like mine. And so I ain't mad at them for accepting that short money. But then when you accept the short money, they think they can come to me with short money. And so my reply to that is, my ass, you want to hear the bridge and you want to pay me that, turn on and sing it yourself.
Right.
All of these old school cats. I mean, Van Silk calls me all the time with bullcrap ass schemes trying to get me to do something that ain't worth no money. And I'll be telling him, yo, you can't do that kind of stuff, yo. It's like, I don't need these people involved. He called me this week talking about Sotheby's and they want memorabilia. But I'm like, I don't need to go through so-and-so. If Sotheby's wants some stuff, I can go to Sotheby's direct. And he's going to tell me, no, you can't do that. See, that's why your old ass ain't got no money now.
Man.
You don't know how to do business. I'm not doing business. Especially with nothing with come on, I ain't even saying names or none of that, but I ain't doing business with them folk. Y'all ready to jerk people. Y'all have learned the art of jerking so well that it's 2020. You know how to jerk somebody quickly and they'll be oblivious to it.
No, no doubt.
Yeah, I've been trying to get me into. Look, the people that's involved with the things that he's been trying to get me into been jerking people for years. I've been in the game long enough to know these names, so you can't come to me and say, well, this person, I know them. I know how they do you. I'm not down with that, so stop calling me with garbage. It just don't work nowadays.
Understood. Now, one thing about it, pretty much, how's the business changed financially in terms of what, you know, you all were making then as to what artists are making now and how contracts are structured and how everything, you know, pretty much flows business-wise?
Okay, because business-wise, you can get somebody to come out here and they'll give them $300,000 and they'll get on stage and mumble for an hour. But you get an artist like Rock him and get $300,000. Kane can get $300,000. Chris can get $300,000. And Chris Kane is the two hottest people on stage. Nobody can touch their stage show. You know what I'm saying? Nobody can get $300,000 for the rest of these days. I'll take $150,000 because the Kane stage show is worth $300,000. My joint is worth $150,000. All right? So, you know what I'm saying? Can't be killing them on shows. Rock him. But Rod's different. Rod's like me. Rod, we just spit our rhymes. We ain't got that dancing and all that. Oh, yes, he holds stuff. But, you know, Chris and they kill a show. Why can't they get $300,000 for a show?
Right.
Yeah, you're not wrong, man. You're not wrong at all, man. But your shame be while we're at it, man, I got to ask you this, Shane. I know you're tired of this question. When are we going to get some new Shane? Are you going to do something else, man, or was Buzz Over Bullshit your last song?
Oh, yeah, I'm going to do something else. It's in the works right now. I just don't talk about it, you know what I'm saying, because I'm a funny type of person. I'll be into it this week, and then next week I'll be out in the boat doing something else. Like, I'm riding a boat this week. Forget that music. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I've got choices. Hey, it's all about having that
I've got choices that others don't have.
Right.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, this week.
I know I already gave you your props on that album, man, but to see you in 2017 release an album like that, it did. Sounded just slugging like that classic.
Listening, brother.
Man, that shit was a classic joint. Like, that's that classic hip-hop sound. And You know, we were behind it the whole way, man. Like, I support it the whole
but
way.
Now,
to this day, I talk about that album, man.
All right, now understand why I'm reluctant to do another album, because everybody that sits there and talk about, oh, we can't wait until old school come back with another album, do you think they supported it? No, they didn't. No, they didn't, and it was free to listen to. You understand? And I'm telling you, it's free to listen to. Go on YouTube and listen to the album. You look at the hits that it got.
I mean, I think for sure that, you know, where I was, the other show I was on, man, I mean, I'm pretty confident to say that we supported that album more than anybody. You know what I mean?
And I appreciate
it,
you.
You know, not only
now,
were you our boy, but I stood behind that album because I listened to it. You sent me a lot of it before you dropped it. And I was like, Shane, that shit's straight fucking perfect. You know what I mean?
And I appreciate you for supporting me. But see, now here goes the other thing. All of us that support what we're doing, the radio stations and all that, now, all right, we got support from you. But are the fans who say they're fans are going to go back and just listen? I'm telling them it's free. Yo, you can listen to it for free. And I'm not getting no clicks. Why would I want to put out another album? Why would I want to do that?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean,
don't waste my time.
I talk to a lot of artists, and I'll ask them the same thing. Well, you know, when you put something out, and they're like, look, man, I got some shit, but, like, everybody will say they'll fuck with it until it's actually out there. Nobody supports shit anymore. Like, it's hard to get people to live up. They just like saying they're old school. They don't really support the old school. They don't.
Exactly.
You know.
But then you see them out at the club talking about a little, saying a little Yachty or a little Yachty verse. But yet you old school. Why are you singing that little Yachty stuff?
Yeah.
Why are you singing Uzi?
Yeah, like,
I'm
cool with the boy Saigon. And, you know, Saigon ain't dropped something in years. And me and him talk all the time about, you know, he sends me music he recorded. And, you know, he'll go in one day and be like, man, I'm all about it. I'm about to hit it back. And then, like, the next week, he just ain't talking about it no more. I'm like, yo, what's up? And he's like, man, I put all this time, money, and energy into this shit, man. He's like, nobody's going to fuck with it. He's like, you know, it'll get looked over. I don't got a joint with y'all. You know what I mean? I don't got
a
joint
to
with future.
That
I
his man
you know, I don't
can
got that.
Fuck with him all day.
Definitely.
We
definitely need that support system, man. First and foremost, because it feels like as the legends, they ain't really feeling appreciated, because if you don't see that strong support system, they figure what's the point of doing it.
Yeah.
And the one thing, and he's right, and he's right, King, and King's right on this. Shan, where do you think a lot of times in terms of, because we're all older, you know, and proud to, you know, proud of our age, where do you think the delineation happened in terms of where, because we're all still enthusiastic of the culture, we're children of it, we live for it, we die for it, we love it. But where do you think it happened with some of our generation, like the 40 and up, late 30s, where maybe the enthusiasm has kind of fell off a little bit for it?
I can tell you exactly where. When grown
men,
instead of teaching the young children, they want to run around with their pants sagging like they 15 and you 40. Pull your pants up.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother taught you to put a belt on when you were younger. I know she did, because the age that you are, I know how your mama raised you. But now you want to run around, and instead of you teaching the young, you running behind them with your pants sagging like you're stupid or something.
I like
that. When the older crowds chasing the younger ones, because you know what I do? I see a whole lot of old men riding around playing this young music. And I be looking at them like, you're a pedophile. Simple fact, you ain't playing that young music. So when you pass by the little young girls, they on yours. You know what I'm saying? You old ass niggas. Stop playing that young shit.
Oh, shit.
We weren't ready for that
one, but it's bars, true, man. That's the truth, man. Facts.
I'm telling you, every time I see an old man like myself running out here with his music blasting, playing some of that mumble jap. I'm like, you a pedophile ass motherfucker.
Now, yeah, I told you, you can't always bring them bars over bullshit, man. You're living the embodiment of that.
Now, one thing about it, too,
you always bring me that content, Shane. I always appreciate you having my back, Shane, for real, man. Like, I was telling these guys, I think I interviewed more than I interviewed anybody else. And I appreciate that, man. You know, for me, you've always been one of my heroes, man, for real. Like, you know, I grew up on the Juice Crew. Like, G-Rap was the first shit I heard that made me fall in love with hip-hop, man. I fell in love with the Juice Crew, man. And I just know what you meant to the game. And, you know, there's a lot of people that need to bow down to you, man, because there's a lot of people's flows that, you know, people will name in their top five, and they know goddamn well. Like, man, you came with a different kind of lyrical ability back then. And
look,
the way you were
what
spitting.
I say to people, I say, look, here's what I say. I say, I'm your favorite rapper, but they'll never admit it.
Man, that's the truth, man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the truth, man.
What we want to do.
This is a question I've never asked you, Shan.
Hey, I got to shoot this to him right quick because somebody just shot me the question to ask. Now, a certain YouTuber has said he wants clarification on the whole thing with LL Cool J. Now, this certain YouTuber, he claimed that you were upset LL was starting the bubble. Now, is this really the main reason why the beef started, or is it because he started biting your
hold
style?
On, but wait, now let's correct this, because LL started to bubble. That lets me know that your person that you're talking to doesn't know shit, because LL was out before me, years before me, okay? And when I did, it was because then we didn't see lyrics, we didn't see beats, we didn't make anything close to me. He stole my beat for Rock Bells, for Molly Scratch. And that was the whole altercation right there. It wasn't because LL was bubbling. LL was bubbling before I came out. He had, I need a beat. All right? But then when Shan came with Left Me Lonely, what he had to do? He had to come with I Need Love. Because Shan was on top of his game. So many people copied me and has stolen my style, including Chris, you know what I'm saying? And they capitalized off of me. And I can say I made it here by myself. I didn't use any of you niggas to get where I got to. I got it here by myself. Any of you niggas that jumped on my springboard, that made you my son, nigga.
Well, LL,
I pretty much know who this YouTuber is talking about, but I'm not going to give him no shine. But I think T-Max even know who I'm talking about here. He's got the guy that's talking about a ghost story. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, that YouTuber doesn't know. Look, let me tell you something. That YouTuber believes in YouTube more than he does his own research. He's one of them people that believe everything that they see and freaking hear. So his credibility is now zero. You know nothing about hip-hop, and I'm telling you this over the airwaves, which with me, listen, I'm telling you straight up. Get your facts straight before you want to ask real niggas questions, all right? Because I'm going to give you the real answer. No matter how much it hurt.
And LL, if you're out there for what Shan said, you're welcome to come on the show and speak your side of it as well. So, I mean,
what you got to understand is that LL is my brother nowadays. LL has called me and offered me a spot on XM. You dig what I'm saying? Like, yo, Shan, I see what you're doing. Can we make this happen? You know what I'm saying? He called me and like, yo, I want to except, but I'm not that. Y'all know my spirit. You know, I'll be in the middle of a radio show and I won't smoke blunt, cut out, and leave dead fucking air for 6 hours. So I had to tell him, hell, you know that ain't my forte, you know what I'm saying? Because I do have an RV show that I'm working on, it's called So You Think You Know Hip-Hop, where I drive the RV and I go pick up three passengers and you answer the question wrong, you get out the RV wherever we at, whether we on 285,
oh,
yeah,
like a cab
75.
Oh,
thank
wow.
you. And so
yeah,
I pitched him that idea.
Dope,
all right, but look, when I pitched him that idea, he got his production people to call me. Forget about putting Shan on XM. He went for the bigger thing, like, yo, we can make more money on this. Instead of him giving me a check out of XM, we can generate a brand new check. So
mm-hmm.
I appreciate LL. Yeah. Everything that we did, me, him, and Chris. What we did as children, that's what we did as children. We're now grown men. Chris can say what he wants to say about me. I love Chris.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? Chris loves me. I love LL. LL loves me. And that's not on the bundle of sticks tip either. And if anybody don't know what a bundle of sticks is, go look up the definition.
Yeah, we know.
That has to do with the Greeks,
man,
that
just shows what
kind
of stand up dude you are, man. But you've always been, yeah, I know you never afraid to speak your mind. And you, one thing I always credit you, man, is you'll tell a story that, you know, isn't in your favor. You're honest about everything, man. You don't lie, you don't sugarcoat, man. You don't try to always make yourself be the guy that was. I ain't doing nothing wrong, or, you know, I'm right 100%.
My signal got lost again.
You're truthful with yourself, man, and I respect your authenticity.
We're going to have to do this again.
You know, but one question I do have, Shan, is, all right, man, this is, I don't want you to take this in any wrong context at all.
I think he said his signal got lost, and we may have to do it again.
Yeah, signal got lost. He's going to call back in.
Are you in here?
Yeah, no, his signal got lost. You were saying signal got lost. We're going to bring him back in. It ain't nothing. We're going
to
bring him back
okay,
in.
Okay, yeah, yo, yeah. Just a heads up, man. I might have to roll out of here in just a couple of minutes, man.
Okay.
Okay. Y'all know
you're
going to get me for shame, bro.
Yeah, man, but I tell you, though, but that's real, though. I mean, but you figure, you know, for him to tell that story, you know, that's something that a lot of people don't know. You know, in terms of, you know,
it is.
Well,
Shan,
this.
Shan's authentic. He's a motherfucker,
home.
Man.
Okay.
Shan, you there, bro?
I'm back. I tell you, the satellites keep moving.
You're good. Yep. Shan, I need to get this question off, man, because I'm going to have to roll out here in a couple of minutes. But, you know, I got to get this question off, man. My favorite comedian of all time is Patrice O'Neill. Hilarious dude. He passed away a few years back. But the knock on him was he was intelligent, he was funny, he was thoughtful, he was authentic. But that stood in the way of his success. He was too authentic, and he didn't play into the game. I always respect your honesty, your aggression, your truthfulness.
Listen,
do you feel that way about yourself?
Listen, that's exactly what about me happened. Because when I called Benny Medina a bundle of sticks back in the days, my career was as far as rap is concerned. But I stepped into produce area and I produced snow. And that's where I'm getting my money from. Hip hop ain't never paid me. Hip hop jerk.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
I got my money off of being a producer and doing other things outside of what I was expected to do.
You know, and Sam, when you mentioned Benny Medina, we remember that last time you were here, and that story always cracks me and King and Pat up when you told us about that. Benny may not
you,
like
yo.
It, but...
I don't care what Benny likes it. See, that's why I got kicked out the game anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's the truth. And I also say he offered me the same deal that he offered Will Smith. Now, if I know how you came at me, I got to look at Will coming. He's crooked, but he's my man and all that. But you made your $20 million. Well, how did you get it? All the weird stuff going on in your family just makes me think that you fell into the game. You fell for the Benny Medina thing because, first, the 6 degrees of separation would not have been a movie that I would have done, period. I don't care. And
you
like
know,
I say, I'm just telling my truth. It's not about me trying to dog Will or nothing. I'm just telling my truth. And it just so happens that your name falls into my truth.
Right.
Your name falls into my story. So if I'm telling my story and I'm saying that Benny Medina was blah, 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 hey, he must have been the same because you don't just.
Bam.
Right, you hear Sam? I think it's tickling me a drop.
Hey, y'all, I got to roll out.
Okay.
If y'all get Sam back on, tell him I said I appreciate him coming on. And, you know, tell him I love him. He's my brother. And, yo, guys, I appreciate y'all. Like I said, man, y'all don't need me for Sam, bro. Just say a word, man. He'll give you some crazy shit, man.
Look.
But yo, congratulations on everything, guys. Thanks for letting me come on. I still got a few things I'm putting together for y'all. Hopefully, Illogy here within like a week or so. But yo, man, y'all take care, man. For real, I appreciate y'all. Congratulations on everything, man.
Okay, appreciate you, Pat. Love you much.
Man.
Thank you
again.
Keep
in touch
with you,
love
bro.
Y'all, man.
Again.
For real. Peace.
Well,
yeah,
King,
look.
We'll get Sam back on, but, yo, King, doesn't that always crack you up every time we hear about Benny Medina with this?
Man, this dude is so disliked. He's like him and Steve Stout. Those two are probably the most disliked Negroes in the music business right now.
What do you think a Versus would be like between them in terms of two of the most hated? How will we even judge that?
You're gonna see the thumb meter go down. The thumbs down button is gonna break.
Look, kid. Do we talk about who's had the most infamous moments in terms of how Shan had to check Benny or how Puffy had to check Steve?
Which story is gonna get more reaction? That's gonna be the hilarious part.
Yeah, man. I guess while we waited for Shan to come back on, I guess we got to get into a little bit of the comedy fuckery, but albeit could end in tragedy. Okay, this situation with Kanye, because you saw what they said in the news today about him, right?
What's up with that?
They said Kanye threatens to expose all the Kardashian family secrets.
That nigga capping, man. He ain't doing that, man. We almost on album time right now. We almost on the album stage right now. So anytime he's gonna push the envelope to where the hype is gonna get even crazier. So what he's gonna do is they're gonna push it and push it and push it to get that attention out there. Then when the album come out, we still won't be talking about the secrets. You may have to check my album. He probably going to drop some lines in there. It's all slick marketing at the end of the day.
Well, you know,
very
you know,
slick
King, King, the thing about it is this, and we, you know, we're both students, we're both journalists, we studied this, we watched over the years how the evolution of marketing and publicity has evolved in terms of, you know, getting albums out there and rollout, you know, but I'm, and some would say maybe I'm the, you know, that I'm the gullible goose in all of this. Something tells me this situation ain't totally right completely with him at all. And I really think this is something that what happened this week was that shit crazy enough. The question is now exactly how far will this go? Because, you know, to hear, you know, because XXL, shout out to, you know, XXL magazine, they ran an article on their website saying that Kim was actually meeting with divorce lawyers, looking at her options. And we can't dismiss this either, because we heard these rumors a couple years ago that Kim, you know, was getting tired of his shit. Kim said in a Kim said a while back that she didn't leave because she wanted the children. You know, she was concerned about the children and she wanted to keep the family together for the kids, which I totally get. But I got to be real with you, man. I really don't know how far this thing is really going to survive. I really don't see how this thing stays together if all this is, if this is really some dysfunction going on. If it's really dysfunction, I'm going to be real. I don't see this lasting because I think Kim's tired of it.
I mean, we're going to see for itself. Oh, I think we got Shan on, right? I think we got him back.
Okay, Shan, you with us?
Shan out there battling the wolves.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, okay,
I'm out here battling the bears. Look, we're going to do this again when I'm home.
Got you.
Okay? So
got
I can
you.
Not have cut
works.
Signal and we can do this properly.
Got you.
Most definitely,
all right,
man.
So
what I'm going to do, I'm going to contact
again,
with Pat,
and we're
going to set a date for that.
There you go, and we're going to have an in-depth conversation from the time I'm supposed to be there because I know I'm a half an hour late, you know what I'm saying, because of this internet signal, but we're going to do a whole in-depth thing.
That's what's up,
definitely,
man.
Because we got a lot to talk about, man, in terms of a lot of things, in terms of what's been going on, not only in hip-hop, but the world at large, you know, and certain people. Because we definitely, Sam, we want to ask you about that situation with Will in terms of, do you think that was the right situation for him and his wife to be putting their business out there like that? So we got to do, you know, we got a lot to talk about when next time we got you.
Yes, it was.
Okay, go ahead.
Want to watch how quick it disappeared. It disappeared quickly. The best thing that they could have did was address it, because when you try and run from it, that's when the media and everybody get on your back. So the best thing that they could have did was address it, because now you ain't got nothing to talk about.
Got you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I mean, straight no chaser.
And in the end of the day, look, in the end of the day, that was their business. And however they screw that's their business. That ain't none of our business. Why we in their bedroom?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's ain't got no business in their bedroom. If it's some public eye, whatever. And I don't see why that little young boy just came out and said that. What kind of, because you putting out an album. That's right. That's how you young guys get new album credits. You put dirt in the street. Because your album is bush.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it with August is all of us being grown men here, you know, coming from a different generation, even if he did smash her on the low, my thing is, because when it first came out, it's
still
like
here. I don't know whether y'all still there.
Yeah, I'm here. We can hear you. Can you hear it? Can you hear
us? Yeah.
We here. Can you hear us? Okay, I think his signal got lost.
Yeah, we should. Yeah, it did, but we're going to definitely bring him on for that, man.
Because we got a lot. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, man, but we'll get back to the Will and Jada thing about business being out there. But, yeah, but like I said with Kim and Ye, man, I think that's just something that I really think Kim – You know, King, me and you talk on air and off air about this. I like Kim personally, and I think Kim gets a bum rap on a lot of things. And I think Kim is really a person who I respect her for everything she's gone through over the past 13 years, from the video with Ray J to, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, Bruce becoming Caitlyn. Look, I'm going to call him Bruce. His mama named him Bruce. I'm going to call him Bruce. You know, and just all the unfair, I think, you know, stigmas placed upon her family. But I think people have to understand this, too. Kim is a human being like we all are human beings, and she has feelings and emotions like we all do. And Kanye has feelings and emotions. And Kanye, when we look at this situation that has happened over the past week, he's not well. That's obvious. I don't give a fuck what this thing is in terms of public relations, you know, bipolar, whatever the shit, the man ain't well. He's not well, and that's painfully obvious. And I mean, how do you bring up your own daughter talking about that you are going to abort your own daughter? She's going to hear that when she gets older. How do you even come out your mouth to say something like that?
Well, I'm like, that man losing his mind. I'm like, first of all, why is he even? I thought the campaign was over. Like,
well,
then they say, no, he's doing a rally.
Well, there's, and, you know, here on Off the Cuff, too, we always try to give our, you know, education, the medicine with the comedy and the humor as much as we can. Now, the thing is, South Carolina did not put him on the ballot, and there was still a lot of paperwork, from what I understand, that he hadn't done to officially run. So technically, what he's doing is he's just basically having a shit show in public right now. And because he didn't, from what I understand, he didn't even get a 10,000 names on a ballot to even, you know, get on it. Because you have to have 10,000 signatures to get on a ballot, and he didn't even have that. South Carolina has already, you know, said they weren't going to put him on. So I don't know if that was just because I would have to check voter laws, the election laws, to see if the states do reserve the right to not put somebody on. But in this case, South Carolina did say they were not going to put him on. I don't know if they chose not to, if they have that right, or because he didn't have the sufficient signatures. Either way, the fact of the matter is this is late in the game, you know, and reality is elections, what, 4 months away, 4 or 5 months away? So it's like, you know, dude, it's like, what are you doing? And, I mean, keeping it real, dog, okay, they say he's a billionaire, but the reality is, he really did not understand how much an election campaign runs in terms of cost. We're talking about travel. We're talking about airtime. All time. I mean, if he's at a billy, he would blow all of that money on that election campaign alone.
That's true.
you know, so
yeah, that goes to show you right there. You can't believe everything your favorite rapper tells you. Your favorite rapper lying to you.
Well, that's
because there's no way. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't think he has $1 billion cash. He may have a lot of assets worth $1 billion.
Right. Right. But like we talk, man, you know, Jay-Z can show us $1 billion cash. Bill Gates can show us $1 billion cash. Jeff Bezos can show us $1 billion cash. You know, Oprah can show us $1 billion cash. Michael can show us $1 billion cash. You know, I don't know if Kanye has like $1 billion cash, like, and it's like liquid money in terms of like bills, like racks on racks on racks of stacks. It's $1 billion. Like you said, King, he may have $1 billion in assets in terms of all of what he owns and his business ventures, but $1 billion cash, yeah, that's questionable. I'm not going to get on the air on our show and say, you know, Forbes magazine, you know, any of these other outlets that have reported his financial windfall in terms of the wealth he has is false.
Now, you know, in situations like that, the PR team will pay people to write those articles.
Which also
like,
undermines the credibility of the publication, if that's the case.
Maybe
that's
pulling the Benzino.
The magazines, right. Yeah, that's a whole nother can of worms.
It's just like, I mean, it's possible because that seems like the new wave these days when it comes to journalism. They like these artists PR teams, they send a nice chunk of change to these labels or these magazine publications to write a good piece on them. And for $100K, I'd do it. $100K just to make Kanye look good.
Well,
man,
I mean,
that nigga's a mixture of Beethoven and Mozart and Curtis Mayfield combined.
Well, you know, one thing about it, and when you read, when depending on the outlet that you're writing from, there's always can be a subjective nature. You know, this is part of what we do. This is what we enjoy doing. This is how we are responsible at what we do. And part of that means that we also have to understand when we read different sites, you know, different magazines, if we get into politics, no cap, we know which ones are going from the left-wing slant to the right-wing slant, you know, conservative versus liberal. You know, when we deal with politics, if we deal with artists, we can tell which publication, they have a favorable relationship with said artist, and which one may not have such a favorable relationship in terms of, you know, how these how they get along and what is the publicity. You know, one thing about it is I think artists have to understand, you know, publicity is just publicity, and not all publicity is good, you know, depending on what's put out about you. I mean, we're looking at this situation right now with Meg Thee Stallion and with Tory Lanez. And I mean, is this shit going to get any more crazy than what it is now? I mean, did we expect all of this to come out?
Man, I'm going to tell you, now the story is going to turn into something way different than we were expecting.
Right.
Allegedly, now she put the paws on him first, and he shot her.
Right.
Now, keep in mind, that's still assault on a midget, though, because you know Tory Lanez was 5'3". The nigga's the size of Yosemite Sam.
Right.
So I bet you the girl weighed more than him.
Yeah, and you know, King, that's the question in all of this, because now the whole inquiry is to how this whole thing started. Supposedly they were at a party. A chick was flirting with him. Maybe he flirted
Jenner.
Back. Yeah, Kylie Jenner was supposedly flirting with him, and I don't know if he flirted back with her or whatever, but either way, Megan saw it, and then she got upset. They got in the car, and apparently there was some type of words exchanged, and then there was an altercation. So, like you said, she put the paws on him first, and then he shot her in the foot. So, I mean, but the reality of it is, too, while I won't even call it comical, because when someone gets hurt, this undercovers a lot of aspects that some people may not want to get into. This is off the cuff. We're going to get into it anyway, because that's what we do. When you're dealing with the issues of usually how domestic issues happen, and this was a domestic issue because these people were dating, you know, this goes into the area about how sometimes a woman can start stuff with a man, you know, which is never right, because a man should never put hands on a woman, just like a woman should never put hands on a man. You know, people who are in a relationship should never put hands on each other, period. And then the fact that because she put hands on him, he shot her, which is even worse. So the question is, this goes into an element of how, you know, people deal with relationships, because as I said earlier, we're all people at the end. And the question is, how do, you know, I mean, this is something that, you know, he could file assault charges on her for her putting hands on him. It's like she could, you know, and the thing is, the police can file charges because he actually had a firearm and shot her. So this is serious. You know, this is serious right here.
Yeah, it really is. It's good. And now here's what I was asking before.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people didn't want to answer that question. I posed this question here. Now,
okay,
everybody is pretty much coming at the little guy. I'm calling him a little guy.
Right. That's
what he is, a little guy.
Challenge.
I don't condone her. I don't condone him shooting her or anything, because, you know, down one,
right,
nobody gets got. But here's the key right here, and we've seen this happen many times.
Yeah.
What if she takes him back? What are they going to say then?
Well, King, you know, that's a very, you know, one thing about it is when we take the celebrity cover off of it, they're regular people, just like we're all regular people. And how many times, look, we from the hood, and this is not just a black issue. This is a people issue from all colors. How many times have we seen these abusive relationships from both sides, and they still go back to each other? You know, we going to go a little deep here. How many chicks do you know, just like how many women do I know, that they were in an ain't shit relationship with a man, and they went back to him, you know?
Exactly.
Or the dude was in a relationship with a woman he should not have been in with, and he got back with her. But they know they're
toxic.
I
was asking that because I want to see what the angle that a lot of these pro Meg fans are taking now. Like, you know, they're on their whole right. black women's tees. So now,
yeah,
what if she takes them back? What are they going to say then? That's what I want to see.
And for Meg to put that statement out there, especially now
Meg
that we know. For her to put that statement out there like she did, I thought it was. I know we're probably going to get killed on YouTube for it, but I'm going to say it. I thought it was disingenuous, and I thought it was disrespectful to black men. Because this is a situation, number one, and this is even before it gets to a situation of now we know what we know now. This goes even before that. What happens is, the fact is, and I can say this because I've seen it just like you've seen it, a lot of black women, and we can only say this because we're black, we've never been anything else in our life, how many black women do we see always talk about they want the hard heads, you know, they want the thugs, but then it's a situation when they get into some shit that happens that thugs do in terms of behavior or what have you, then all of a sudden, oh my God, nobody wants to protect me and I'm in this bad situation. You know, there's a time where you can pick a bad apple in terms of your significant others. We've all been there at one point or another. But when you continuously or consciously make that choice to be with somebody where you know there's some suspect behavior, that's called a conscious decision you've made. And you have to deal with the consequences from dealing with that person. Does Tori have some shit with him? Possibly. Does Meg have some shit with her? Possibly. But the reality is neither, both of them should have known what the shit was with each other, where maybe this wasn't something, maybe I needed to be around this person, because look where we're at right now because of it.
Right.
You know, we want to know what you think. Off the Cuff Radio, call number one is 1-516-531-9596. King Eric and myself, sponsored by Buddy Boy Entertainment, Daisy's Boutique, of course, Dirty Basement Radio. And we are right on air right now discussing what we've been discussing.
Right.
Yes, we're here Friday night. So, yeah, press one to get in the host queue if you want to chop it up with us about your views on it. But, yeah, King, I mean, that's a situation where, you know, a Core Lincoln Financial, Core Financial, we can't forget Core Financial.
Yeah,
shout out to them.
Yeah, if your credit
well.
Messed up, man, definitely follow her on Instagram.
Yes, yes. But, yeah, King, but one thing about it is, and it's like, you know, when we were talking to Shan earlier, it's about marketing to a degree, because in this day and time, and I guess sensationalism at certain levels has always been a tenet of how people try to get stuff out there. As I said, certain things, you know, just like with Will and Jada, like Shan was saying, the best thing they could have did was just get it all out there right then, because now there's nothing else to talk about.
And nobody cares anymore.
You know, right. I think with Shan, he was right on that. I think with Meg and Tori, somebody got shot in this, so this is a whole nother level now because of it. So now the situation is, you know, possibly, well, then again, this was a criminal act involved. You know, what happened with Will and Jada was not a criminal act. It may have been an act of unfaithfulness, but that was not a criminal act. This was a criminal act that involved, so obviously, until the legal proceedings are taken care of in all of this, we obviously don't expect them to say anything about it, which is understandable for legal purposes. But yeah, man, but I mean,
right.
That's something where, you know, I think this just has to do with something about how I think men, you know, women choose their men and how men may choose their women, you know, and personally I like Meg, you know, but there is maybe some situations where maybe Meg has certain issues about how she deals with men in terms of certain things because of how this whole thing started. And you know, you never want to be in the public spotlight where people are looking at you being dysfunctional. There's a time for some people that can be their brand, where they are dysfunctional.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's something that you necessarily want, because I couldn't see myself as a black man, a proud black man living in America, especially knowing, and especially you as a black man, you know, especially any black man who's got some common sense about them, or a black woman who's got common sense about them, who wants to be out there basically a running butt of a joke for immaturity, irresponsibility, ineptitude, and ignorance, and not in that order.
Right.
So I don't know, man. I mean, we'll just have to see where this goes. But is this
there's a lot of things going on, man, and a lot of it is putting relationships in the public eye. And I was talking about the other day with the song that August Alsina released with Entanglement.
Yeah, Entanglement. So I was like, dude, I'm like, you know you were wrong for that. I'm like, you know you were wrong.
Now, I was thinking, damn, man, he going to have to turn to Mike Lowry and let that nigga know what's going on, man, because that's disrespect right there. Now you're going, now you're crossing the disrespectful line.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we joke about it, but I guess we're kind of serious, too. Will, as far as I know, has never done a battle rap with anybody. This may be time for him to go ahead and let that. People forget he's from, what, West Philly. So I'm like, yeah, Will may have to let them West Philly roots come out on him and let him know, ain't no soft shit up in here. You know, like nigga, I will address this on the mic. You know, obviously
that.
I'm not going
to call Cousin Carlton. He'll run up on him. with the pistol loaded.
Yeah, man. But Will, but you know, that's something where I gotta respect Will for how he's maintained his composure throughout all of this, because I don't know if I could, especially with the embellishments, and if I may be so bold, possibly outright lies that have been said by August about saying that Will gave him his blessing. I wish I would give a nigga permission to fuck my wife. The fuck? The fuck? I'm like, the fuck you think this is? I'm like, hell no. I married her for a reason, and it won't for her to fuck you. No, nigga, it ain't happening.
Exactly. Dude came in.
You
dude
know,
came in as a family friend too.
Well, this is where King it gets very, very dicey, because the fact is, you know, August was wrong for what he did. You know, he violated the bro code. But also too, we have to also acknowledge, as you said, him being a family friend, how he came in on the situation. And August did have some legitimate family problems going on. So we cannot dismiss that. The man did have some mental duress going on. You know, and the fact is, these are questions now with Jada. You know, did Jada basically seek him out on a level of his, you know, his emotional vulnerability, you know, and did she, you know, really, you know, take advantage of him in a situation where psychologically he may not necessarily have been, you know, at his most lucid in terms of being able to regulate himself, you know,
right.
You know, and that's something that, you know, it's something that, has to be spoken on, because if it's wrong on one end, it's wrong the whole way around, because you have to look at all the situations that led up to it. Jada was wrong for basically, you know, preying on him in the perspective of that he, you know, might have, you know, he may have been in duress. You know, he may have not had it all together psychologically. And, you know, when we've all gone through traumatic, you know, times in our life, you know, losing a loved one, you know, stresses of life, you know, just things that can happen, you know, it can compromise our decision making. It's just what happens.
Facts.
You know, and the fact is, and you know, one thing about it, when you watch that talk with her and Will, whatever happens, because they never address this, because obviously this happened years ago, but they never addressed the situations that were underlying as to why they had a separation in the first place. And one thing about it, Will, when you look at the emotions that came out up on him and his facial expression, everybody's making that meme about But when you get to the core of it, the shit is real. And Will said, I was done with you. So whatever this was that happened between them that we don't know, this was a real issue between them that almost ended in a divorce. You know, and for Jada to say she just wanted to feel good, and then when you look even deeper, which could be even the more venomous element of it, she never apologized for what she did. You know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to this. You know, when you're looking at how people have relationships, especially, you know, being a celebrity, I think people have to understand too, King, there's a lot of pressures. I mean, being in the public eye, people seeing things, you know, what Shan said, it resonates, you know, and is a legend with a lot of knowledge. He's right on one hand. They put it out there where, you know, now nobody can say anything about it because everybody knows it happened, so the only thing to do was address it. But also, too, I guess conversely speaking, and I'm not saying that they were wrong for it. I'm not saying they were right for it. Because obviously when there's the truth defends itself, like Paul Mooney once said. So, you know, if it's out there or if someone says something, the only thing you can do is address it in the perspective of what it really was and just leave it there. So they talked about it and it is what it is. But even then, it's like, damn, do you really want your business out there showing that, you know, y'all was being messy in public? Or at least one person was messy, and now they done drug y'all into the mess. But I don't know, man. It's just a weird situation to watch.
It's a messy thing either way.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, just like looking at Kanye and Kim.
I'm afraid I have to cut the show a little bit short because I got to charge this laptop up, man. This thing about to die.
Oh,
me.
Lord, okay. Okay,
we had about like 3% on this thing. So what we're going to do is this. I got a lot lined up for the coming month. I'm going to keep that on the hush, man. We got a lot of good content, and we got Shan going to come back, definitely.
Yep.
All I got to say is it's going to be a crazy August.
Yeah, man.
That's all I'm going to say. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, and like I said, shout out to Pat, shout out to Shan, of course. Yeah, man.
We gonna start hitting y'all with bombs, nigga.
Look, we're gonna have more bombs than Deontay and World War II put together. Look, we got more bombs than a minefield going off. So yeah, man, we still got some hits coming for y'all.
For real. So on that note, let me sign up out of here.
Yep.
Go catch y'all the rebound.
All righty, and we out.
Peace.